Well, Father, we thank you for the honor, and it is an honor to come before you tonight as your children. Lord, you are so good, and you so loving, and you desire so much to have your children by your side, to have your children come and really want to hear your voice. We want to hear your voice tonight. We're not here just because we're supposed to be, or just because somebody told us to. We're here tonight to hear your voice, to hear your to have your presence within our hearts, and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us tonight. Lord, we thank you not only for the voiced word tonight, but we thank you for ears to hear, a receptive heart, a heart that desires to hear your voice and desires to receive the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, for it. It doesn't matter what our week's been like, what our day's been like, what our year or our life's been like. Tonight, we will receive the Word of God, which will bring us joy and life and healing and health. Thank you so much for your living Word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, we're still in our series, Walking in the Ways of the Lord, and this is part 43. I know we have two more fruits to go yet, and I don't know where we're at from there, but you know, we should, as God's children, we should desire to know him and know his ways. We should desire to walk in his ways. It's something that we should want. But it's like anything else. You get saved and boy, everything's great and peachy keen, and you're turning somersaults and you're running around in circles and trying to tell everybody about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it becomes familiar. And we kind of lose that zeal. And we have to charge ourselves. But the words Timothy, Paul told Timothy to stir yourself up.
Amen.
You know, we have to stir ourselves up. And so when we study the ways of the Lord, it's important to be detailed with it. So it's important because that's the way I'm supposed to be living.
Amen.
And that's what's pleasing to him. That's what he expects from us. The least we can do after all he did is to try to walk in his ways, try to govern our life after his ways.
Amen.
That's the least we can do to honor the one that paid so high a price for Michael.
Yes.
You know, the least I can do is come to him and say, Father, I want to know you. Paul got to that place that he really wanted to know the Lord. And he decided nothing else matters. Everything I've been, everything I've done, I think the King James calls it as dung.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know what that is.
Yes,
it's as dung. It's not important anymore. The one thing that I desire is to follow after you. That's what David got there. Mm-hmm. He got to that place where he had one desire, and that was to know him. Mm-hmm. Everything else took second place. But when you desire to know the Lord and walk in his ways, then everything else somehow elevates, becomes greater, you become happier, life becomes a joy because you're walking in his ways, and the joy of the Holy Spirit comes up, and even in the darkest times, he brings forth life.
Amen.
That's so exciting that we're not alone in this life. We feel like we are, but we're not. No matter... The farthest place we could go is far away from everybody. God's still there. Well, this is part 43 of Walking in the Ways of the Lord. And tonight, title tonight is Keys to Walking in the Steps of a Good Man, part 2. We had part 1 last week and we didn't get done with it. I knew we wouldn't. So tonight we're still talking about some keys. You know, I'm funny. I like to have keys. I don't like to have a door I can't open. If it's my door and I got something in there, I want the key for it. We're walking in the steps of a good man, part 2 today. Here's our statement, our opening statement, foundational statement for the fruit of goodness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are habitually other-centered. The fruit of goodness is a habitual lifestyle for this person. Or you could even say walking the love walk is a habitual lifestyle for this person.
Amen.
Does it mean that I'm going to be 100% all the time? No. I'm going to have my moments of pity parties, but they don't last long. The Holy Spirit kind of gets on your little bit. Michael, you know better than that. Who are you? Who are you, Michael? What have I done for you?
You need to go preach yourself happy.
Yes, I'll preach myself happy. And that's what I'm doing. Yes. Praise God. Well, that's what we all got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you confess the word, what are you doing? You're preaching to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're preaching to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to lift you up, because where's the joy? Mm-hmm. Joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I even talked about that a while ago. Walking in the love walk is walking in the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the fruit of goodness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We're going through those right now, because that is the way we're supposed to be walking. The keys we talked about last week are important. We're going to repeat ourselves a subject that I've talked about I don't know how many times. And I've been preaching myself about it since in this particular verses of Scripture for over 20 years. And I've confessed it every day of my life almost, because I want it in my own life. But we're going to do it again, because I really think the Lord wants us to hear this again. We need to, certain things in our life, we need to refresh ourselves. Well, I know that. Well, if you ever get to the place where you know it, you're in trouble. You just proved that you don't know it. You know, if you ever hear in a sermon, it's like, I know that. You know, I don't know all about that. You know, I don't need to hear that. Yeah, you know, what is that? First of all, it's pride. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it's carnal. Mm-hmm. You're listening to that message with your brain, not your heart. Mm-hmm. And third of all, that message is not for your brain knowledge. It's for food for your spirit. It's you're feeding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you eat some of the same things on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop your body from eating certain things on a regular basis. Well, you eat this on a regular basis. You eat the Word on a regular basis. It's food.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we hear something, the stronger it becomes in us. The more we can correct our life with it. And that's why we're going to go over this. And Mother knows where we're going without me telling her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the most important, I won't say the most important area of our walk with God. And it's right there in that, the love walk. We're going to go through that, not like we normally do, not going to just read it. I like to take scriptures a verse at a time and talk about them, but I'm not going to take them a verse at a time, I'm going to take them a point at a time, because there's several points in each verse. So I'm going to take it that way, and then we're going to do some reversing while we get done with it. But I've studied this again today, even after confessing it this morning. I studied it again, and I still see some new stuff in it. It's something that is continuously updating itself. And if you mean business with God and with your own life, you'll take this to heart in your life and use it as a checklist, as a way to allow the Holy Spirit to point out things to you. And this is naturally the Amplified Classic, because it's the only place you can really get these points adequately. So, as I said, we're going to take it a point at a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8a. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Now, most of us, that'll knock us in the ditch right there before we get started with the rest of it. First thing you got to do is ask yourself, as He is, so am I in this world. God is love. So I'm a love creature. Mm-hmm. Do I endure long? Do I? Am I patient? Am I kind? No, the patience threw you over in the ditch. And we talked about patience a lot. And patience is a fruit. And kindness is a fruit. Which we talked about them in our study already. As one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. There's three fruits in that one section of Scripture before you even get started with the verse, love is a fruit, patience is a fruit, kindness is a fruit. So we see them. But this is the way we're supposed to be on our daily life, correcting ourselves when we're not. You see yourself not enduring, what do you do about it? You start receiving from the Holy Spirit. You start using the Word. You start confessing the Word. You start putting yourself in a place where you can endure long. You may not want to, but you put your flesh under and you allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. That's one of His jobs. He's our strengthener. He's our counselor, our helper. He causes us to endure long. Some of us endure but a short time, and we fail. We're supposed to endure long. And you know, if you're not patient and kind, you're not going to endure long. Love endures long and is patient and kind.
So if it says love endures long, is that just meaning
so the message said love never gives up.
Yeah.
Never gives up. Okay.
But which one says that?
Message.
Message? Yeah.
Never gives up.
It endures. That's what it means. It can stand anything that comes to it. It's going to still be the same. It doesn't mean you're white-knuckling it as you go through it and just putting up with it. Mm-hmm. It means that you are being patient and kind in the middle of that thing that's coming against you. Put 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 as one of your strongest, most important scriptures in your life. Mm-hmm. It really needs to be something that you focus on every moment. Now, that's the first point in that verse. I told you we're going to take it point at a time, not just a verse at a time. So the second point there is love never is envious nor bars over with jealousy. That's another problem we have. We will envy without even realizing we're doing it. You know, somebody has a new car and new everything and maybe a new TV and acts like they got no problems or issues. Boy, if I was only like that.
Must be nice.
But you're not living that person's life.
Right.
And you don't know how they got that. They could have stole it.
Uh-huh.
Or they could be in debt and never be able to get out.
Yeah, they could be in debt.
You know, so and it may not even be theirs. Don't envy.
No.
Look at yourself. Am I being envious here? Mm-hmm. And you can be envious and not even realize you are.
Right.
Allow the Holy Spirit, as you go through these as a checklist in your life, allow Him to show you if you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because He will if you ask Him. And He's not coming down on you. He's not beating you up or being mean to you. He's saying, Michael, you're envying that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing that you stop and say, oh, I am. Thank you, Lord. I repent of that. I repent of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's wrong to be envious of somebody because God can give you everything they have and more. But He's got to do it by His Spirit and by the Word. If you are envious of someone, you're 100% carnal doing that. There's nothing spiritual about it, and that's a place the devil can clean your clock.
Yeah.
He can clean your clock, and it will keep you out of your own blessing.
Yeah.
It will completely hinder God's ability to pour out on you in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking at what you don't have, and what somebody else has, you're envious of them.
Right, instead of looking at what you have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they never boil over with jealousy.
Right.
We can be jealous and not know it.
Yeah.
That's just, jealousy and envy kind of go together, but they're not exactly the same. Next point in that same verse is not boastful or vainglorious. Vainglorious. I was, what in the world is vainglorious?
Yeah.
Well, here it is. Excessively proud of oneself or one's achievements. Overly vain. As an example, this vainglorious boast of a person or a personal infidelity.
Infallibility.
I can't ever make a mistake. Yeah. If there's anything wrong, it's with you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a personality disorder.
Infallibility. As excessively proud of one's self or one's achievements. What are you? You're self-centered, and it's pride.
So vain.
And it, what goes before a fall, the Bible says? Pride goes before a fall. In other words, when your pride is sticking up like that, you're headed for a fall. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. You're supposed to humble yourself. You can't be humble before God and walk vaingloriously or boastful about yourself. You can't do that. Not in walk in love, you can't. Why? Because you're self-centered. Who are you thinking about? Exactly. You know, instead, you should be looking at other people's achievements. And if they notice yours, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you point to the Lord. You point to the Lord. You know, in Acts, there's a Herod was in all of his robes.
Giving a speech.
Mm. And the people said, it's a voice of a God. And he didn't give the credit to God.
Oh.
You know what happened to him? He got ate by worms.
Yeah, he died, eaten by worms.
Right there.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, God hates pride. So he hates it. And I'm not going to do that. And it's, you know, when somebody, after I get done ministering or something, somebody comes up and says, oh, Michael, that was such a great message. I don't know what to say. Because I know it wasn't me. And it's hard for me. I have struggled with that.
Well, you have to ask him, well, did you hear something from God today?
Yeah, and I'm...
Did you get something from the Holy Spirit?
I know it wasn't me. I'm the one that was speaking. I know it didn't come out of here. So I want to give credit where credit's due, because it's God. Without him, I can't do anything. And that doesn't mean I'm showing off or anything about that. It means that I'm really sincerely, I know it wasn't me. And I want to put the credit where the credit is due. So, okay, the next point is it does not display itself haughtily. Well, I asked the same question.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nose in the air.
Haughty, yeah. Arrogantly superior or disdainful.
Yes.
That's what haughty means. Arrogant. I mean...
Stuck up.
I hope when we see these things, we can't see ourselves. And if we do, we will correct ourselves. And now I'm not saying there's not times we won't act that way, or that there's the way we shouldn't, or people may think we're that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can happen.
And we're really not being that way. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, when I'm ministering, a lot of times people, how does he know? You know, he don't know what I've been going through. Well, how dare him say that?
How dare you?
I mean, I know what goes on in people's heads. Mm-hmm. Who does he think? How does he know all that? Mm-hmm. I don't know it.
About Jesus. Where'd he get all that?
Yeah, where'd he get all that? I don't. I'm not arrogantly, I'm not being superior.
No good thing comes from Nazareth.
Right. Well, you know who hears the message before anybody else does? I do. Not only do I hear it when I'm speaking it, but I've already heard it several times while I'm studying it, you know. So who do you think you're correcting more than anybody else? That minister is correcting himself.
Sure.
As he goes, he doesn't mean he's Mr. Super Sox. He's not Mr. Super Sox. He's got to judge himself and correct himself too. Praise God. So don't ever think of that as a minister. Realize that he's heard this several times. And he's correcting himself. And while he's saying that, the Holy Spirit's busy talking to him.
Yeah.
Not only with the message, but where he needs to correct himself.
That's what that one Baptist preacher said. He said, we preach the loudest about what we need to
Yeah,
watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one, starting in verse 5, that was all verse 4. Starting in verse 5, it is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. You notice how the last few points have dealt with arrogance, is dealt with pride, is dealt with self-centeredness, is dealt with those things.
Mm-hmm.
What's he saying? I'm not supposed to be conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. That's related to being haughty, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and the next point in verse 5, It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly.
The message says it doesn't force itself on others.
Yeah, what?
It doesn't force itself
yes,
on others.
Yes, does not.
It isn't always me first.
Yes. The next point is love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, or we are not self-seeking. I say we because I confess it that way every day, for it is not self-seeking. Do you insist on your own rights? You got to ask yourself.
We got rights.
Huh?
We got rights.
Yeah. You're not walking in love.
Bill of rights.
You might have them, but are you insisting on them? There's a difference in the two. You know, if you have a right and you're walking through life and it's just granted to you because you're just you. But if you get out there and you're fighting for that right and you're mean and ornery, that's not love. God will take care of your rights. You know the right we really have, and that's to walk in love. That's the right we have. Everything else is supposed to be subject to that. Our own personal rights are supposed to be subject to our love walk.
You had the right to be silent.
Yes. You had a right to an attorney. Well, my attorney, my advocate, is the Holy Spirit. That's one of his jobs. So, is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride, is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for we are not self-seeking. Is what you're doing, you may not be forceful or pushy or anything with what you're doing at the time, but is it self-centered? The whole point of this whole thing that I'm doing at this time, whatever it is I'm insisting on my rights here because I'm thinking of who?
Me.
Me. I'm supposed to be other-centered. God takes care of my rights. God takes care of my part. The Holy Spirit's busy. Don't you think He can take better care of us than we can ourselves? You know, He can move the whole world just to get me something I need because of love. He moved heaven and earth when He sent Jesus. You know, there's so many things that He's done. God is not self-centered. We are not supposed to be self-centered. And it doesn't mean that you don't think about the things that benefit you. But if you're constantly seeking only your good in something, we're supposed to be looking at how this benefits the other person. You know who we're supposed to think about that the most? Our enemies. We're supposed to be thinking about their good. Not having evil happen to them. That's what we're supposed to do. God takes care of us. And chances are you're going to turn that person's heart when you're good to them that way. The next point is in verse 5 is, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Are we? We've all been that
person,
way.
Think of the person you got to walk on eggshells for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we that way? Do I?
Are
do
we touchy? Everything we say, do we not, is it, you know, are we fretful? Do we fret all the time? Worry? That's what that fretting is. Or resentful? We resent people. I resent the way they're treating me. We're not supposed to, every one of those is self-centered.
Yes.
Are we touchy, fretful, or resentful? The next part in verse 5, it takes no account of an evil done to us. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's a hard one. It is. When somebody's coming against you, it's kind of an inward thing. A carnal nature rises up. Emotions start to rise up. And we get mad.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how big or small the evil was. It's something I didn't like.
Yeah.
It takes no account of evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. The next time somebody does something wrong to you, think about that. I refuse to take account of that. I'm just not going to let that, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk in love anyways. That's what you have to do. You have to do battle with your emotions and brain. Verse 6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness.
No, that's true.
But it rejoices when right and truth prevail. It does not rejoice at injustice. So when somebody's being harmed in some way, or maybe they are your enemy, or they think they're your enemy. They're not supposed to have any enemies, but they would qualify if you had one.
Yeah, they
would qualify. If somebody does something wrong to them and you see it, hey, go get them, man. No, you don't rejoice in that. You say, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. You know, when you walk in the love walk, and I've done this so long, confessed it so much in my life, I'm not perfect. But I catch myself doing this. I almost always will make an excuse for somebody. Well, they had a bad day, you know.
Yeah.
See, that's love and compassion speaking.
Yes.
That's the Holy Spirit showing you somebody else's heart. They meant it for mean to you, but you're seeing the other side. What put them there? How come? Is there something I can do to help you? That's supposed to be our attitude. But it rejoices when right and truth prevail. We see something good happening. We get up, boy, it makes us happy, you know? And another verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Do we? Now, there's a lot of things can come our way. Good and bad. Every day. Do we bear up under it? Or do we just fall under it? Just let it bulldoze us. If we allow our emotions to rise up, it will bulldoze us.
That is true.
If we allow our feelings and circumstances to dictate how we respond, it's going to walk right over us.
That's it. I mean,
when we're too emotional. You know? Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. And nothing, God gave us emotions on purpose. It helps govern, and they're good and bad, you know. They're not supposed to govern our life. We're supposed to govern them and use them as a tool. They're not supposed to govern us.
The message says it puts up with anything.
Puts up with anything. That's a good, bears up under anything.
Always looks for the best, never looks back.
Never looks back.
Keeps
always
going to the end.
Their entire focus is on loving that person or walking right with God or what's good. They're looking. Their focus is on the word and on love, not on what happened to them.
The Oxford says, there is nothing love cannot face.
There's I like
no
that.
Limit to its faith, its hope, its endurance.
I like that. Read that again.
There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance.
Amen. Is that not a picture of God? That's the way we're supposed to be walking. As He is, so are we in this world. That's why it's important for us to go over these things.
Yes.
The second point in verse 7, is ever ready to believe the best of every person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hard one too. There's some people in our lives that's all they do is mean and ornery. They go out of their way to treat us bad or to talk down about us.
Yeah.
Or to us.
Yeah,
but I'm supposed to believe the best of that person, and that's I catch myself, like I say, doing that. I've been with several guys, especially when we're in a field meeting or something, you know, with the company. They come, not all of them know the Lord. Some of them do, most of them should, but and they'll be criticizing an agent or the company or a president or whatever, and I wind up making excuses for them. After I'm doing it, it's like an automatic switch.
Yes.
I will be doing it, and then I'll realize what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I can't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I can't join in that conversation because of that right there. I have to think the best of them, no matter what they're doing. And honestly, these are not suggestions. These are commandments.
Amen.
And another next point in verse 7, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Now we know what that word hope in the Bible means. Absolute, earnest expectation.
Absolutely.
That's what it means. It's absolute earnest expectations are fadeless under all circumstances. In other words, there's nothing can change my focus here. I'm focused on, I've applied my faith to the word, patience went out there, and I'm walking in patience now, and that, what I've got my focus and my faith on, is going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. It's fadeless. Nothing can stop me from accomplishing what my hope is set on. It's not a maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's an absolute. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's the way we got to treat the word. That's the way we got to treat the promises. They're absolute. There's no chance that they will not come to pass. I gotta do battle with myself to keep that, and I gotta do battle with my emotions. I gotta do battle with circumstances. Yes. But circumstances don't dictate. The word dictates. It endures everything without weakening. Where are you weakening at when you're in that conflict? You shouldn't be. But you're going to. That's why you have to concentrate on these things. That's why you've got to re-stir yourself with the word. You've got to keep it before your eyes and in your ears, like he told, like God told Joshua. You've got to keep it in your mouth and in your ears. You've got to keep it before your eyes. This word brings strength to you if you believe it. And what is believing? It's a choice. I am choosing to believe this. Yeah, but there's no yeah buts where faith is concerned. God said that. God's not a liar. The word says it. It's absolute truth. And that's how you strengthen yourself when you're in the middle of those conflicts. If you don't do that, you'll surrender to the problem. But you're going to do one or the other. You're going to bow down and surrender, or you're going to take a hold with both hands and say, I'm not going there. I am not doing that. And you'll endure without weakening. Love endures without weakening. And if I am weakening, what part of me is working? My carnal nature is working. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be love minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, or circumstance minded.
Mm-hmm. Or selfish minded.
Or self-centered, selfish minded. What's this doing to me? You know, and all of that. No, how can I help the other person? Okay, verse 8, love never fails. That's why it's so important. If I make myself walk in love, I make a choice. And when I'm not doing it, repent of it. If I'm doing that, then I'm going to succeed. I will succeed. Love never fails. If the project fails, it's not because of love. And it's not because of the word failed. It's not because God failed. It's not because he didn't do his part. I failed. I'm the one that dropped the ball. Not God. The word never fails. God never fails. Faith never fails. Love never fails. So if it's failing, first of all, is it really failing?
Right.
Is it? It may not be.
Yeah.
It's in process. So my carnal nature may perceive it as failing. But I grab a hold of the word and I say, no, it can't fail. I strengthen myself with the word. Mm-hmm. The next point in that verse, the first part of that verse, is love never fades out. It doesn't get weak. You know, my light may dim a little bit for the pressures that are going on, but it doesn't. Love never fades out. It can't fail. It can't get weak. I can, but it can't. That's why I've got to hang on to it so much. If I need to confess these things several times a day to strengthen me, I need to do it because it's important. There's nothing more important in your life than your love walk. Nothing, absolutely nothing. The next point, it never becomes obsolete. It doesn't get Windows 10 is going to be dropped. It's going to become obsolete. Windows 7 is obsolete. XP is obsolete. but not love. It doesn't become obsolete. It doesn't become outdated.
You don't need to come up with something new.
There's nothing new. This is as new as it gets. And it's new every morning. The last one is, or comes to an end. I may come to an end, but it doesn't. I can stop my love walk. It will not stop. If there's anything stable in life, it's the love of God. It's His love in us. It's His Word coming up in us. I want to take this now, the same scriptures we just read, and we're going to look at it a point at a time at a person that's not walking the love walk. And hopefully we won't see ourselves there. But this will help us to recognize the difference between the two. So, a person that is not walking in the ways of the Lord or not walking the love walk, they will not endure long. They will fail. They'll come to an end. There's no strength there for them. They will not endure long if they're not walking the love walk. They will not be patient and kind. So if you run across a person, including yourself, that's not being patient and kind, you are not walking the love walk. They will be envious and boil over with jealousy. If you catch yourself doing that, I'm not walking in love here. I'm in dangerous ground. There should be red lights going off, orange caution lights going off inside me. Stop, stop, stop. Turn, turn, get back on the love walk. Stop it. That should be going off inside of us whenever we're allowing our emotions to arise or we're not walking or we're being envious and boiling over with jealousy. This person, if not walking the love walk, will be boastful and vainglorious. They will be their own king in everything they do. They can't do anything wrong. But a person that's walking the love walk, he's not doing that. That person is conscious of the fact that he can be wrong, and if he is, he repents of it. That's a man, by the way, that can look at himself and correct himself. The person that's not walking the love walk will display themselves haughtily. They will have their nose in the air. Nobody's better than me. They will be conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. You'll see pride everywhere they go. The person that's not walking the love walk, they will be rude, unmannerly, and will act unbecomingly. They will insist on their own rights or their own way, where they are self-seeking. Now, we can be self-seeking and not realize it. Again, ask yourself, who is benefiting here and who's not? If it's costing that other person something for me to benefit, that's wrong. It's wrong. This person is not walking the love walk. They will be touchy, fretful, and resentful. So you can spot whether or not a person's walking the love walk or not. They will take account of every evil done to them, and they will pay attention to every suffered wrong. They'll get back at you. I'll give them the peace of my mind.
Yeah, well, in 1974...
Yes, that's exactly what they'll do. They won't... That's exactly what they do. Huh?
Oh my gosh.
You know how long 1974 was? 50 years ago, and you still remember it?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with that person. But they will take account of every evil. And that don't mean the absolute evilest thing to them. That means anything that's not right. To your perspective, that's evil to me.
Yeah.
May not be evil, but I may see it as being evil because it didn't go my way. Yeah. They will take account of every evil done to them. They will pay attention to every suffered wrong. They won't let anything pass. They will rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. They will not rejoice when right and truth prevail. They don't want right and truth to prevail. They want injustice, unrighteousness. They like it. That's what they rejoice in. And we know people like that. Hopefully it's not us. They will not bear up under anything and everything that comes. They will not bear up. They will weaken every time. They will not believe the best of every person. They will take an offense at everybody. Instead of thinking about why they're that way, or the hurts that that other person's had, or whatever it may be, they won't think about that. They'll only think of self. Their hopes will fade under all circumstances. Instead of absolute earnest expectation, it will be doom, despair, agony, and me. You know, the old
give up.
Yeah, they'll give up under any. They can't stand up in anything.
Yeah.
Their hopes will fade.
Deep, dark depression.
They will not endure anything without weakening. They'll weaken every time. It may take them a little while, but they'll weaken.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live like this.
I'm sad.
How many wants to live like that? Their love will always fail, will always fade out, will become obsolete, and it will come to an end. I don't want to live that way, do you? Living the love walk is a lot more fun. It brings a lot more people. This person in the second part that's not walking the love walk, they're miserable.
Yeah.
They're miserable.
Always crabby.
Yeah. They're miserable. But the person that's diligently...
They don't have a kind word for anybody.
Huh?
They don't have a kind word for anybody.
But the person in the first... that we read in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, that person is walking through life in peace. He's correcting himself. Sometimes it's a little difficult to walk the love walk. But you're not walking it for yourself. It benefits you. But you're walking for God. You're allowing the fruit to flow through you. You're walking in the steps of a good man. This other person here that does not walk the love walk, he's not a good man. He's not.
Sad.
Let's look at 1 John 4, 7. And this is the New King James. So 1 John 4, 7 through 11. 1 John 4. The rest of these are all New King James. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There's two places in two verses he already said God is love. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love. See, the verse 9 here says why he sent the love. So that we could live. He sent it so that we could live. Isn't that awesome? Verse 10. In this is love. Well, this is how you'll recognize it. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Or the sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We don't base our love on what we do. We base it on what he did. That's what our love is based on. All that love walk is based on what he did. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you... Now, the last one said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now put verse Ephesians 5, 8 on top of that last statement. Ephesians 5, 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Mm-hmm. For the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we've been talking about, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So when we look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and what we've been studying for a couple of months, when we look at those fruit, We should see ourselves walking those. We should see those in our own life. We should see the characteristics that we talked about tonight with the love walk. We should see that in our life. Or we should be striving towards that. Mm-hmm. We should be making decisions to walk that way, knowing that I'm gonna fail. I'm going to make mistakes. But what do I do about it when I make that mistake? Do I get down on myself? Or do I run to my loving Father and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for that. I know I was wrong, and I ask your forgiveness, and I receive it because you've already forgiven me, but I accept it now. I accept your forgiveness, and I thank you that you'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He wants us to come to him when we fail. He wants that. He doesn't want us to run away from God. He wants us to run to him. I get my freedom when I admit that I'm wrong. Some people can't do that. But we have to. Yeah, right. If we're going to walk this world the way we're supposed to, we have to admit we're wrong, and then that's when we receive the forgiveness for it. In Micah 6:8, I'll be there just for a minute, so don't, it's an oddball finding that one. So Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God requires of us. He requires us to walk the love walk. To be kind and considerate. And to be other-centered, not self-centered. He requires that. And there's so much that comes our way when we do walk that way. Can you imagine walking your life with not one feeling of depression or fear or worry? There's just a rest in your heart your whole life. That's what God desires. He desires that. That's why Jesus came. He really, sincerely wants us to walk a good life. But we can't do it without him. And we can't do it allowing our emotions to govern us. We can't do it. Matthew 5:16, I'll be there only just a minute. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why he requires us to walk the love walk, to show mercy, to do justly, to walk humbly. It's so that our light can shine to others. People should see us walking the love walk. They should see a difference in Michael. They should see me walking this way and wonder why. Mm-hmm. Mike, I've seen how bad that person was to you. I would not have taken that from that person. Mm-hmm. Why? It's second nature to you, and you don't understand why your friend says that, because that wasn't that bad. There was no problem there. They just had a bad day, that's all. And you're unchanging. They notice when you're not changing. They notice when you're kind anyways. People notice that. They may not understand it, but they notice that. And inside, you're not wanting to be kind.
Yeah.
But you are anyways. Mm-hmm. Because of the love that's flowing through you because of God. Mm-hmm. And what the Word says. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And what happens is the Holy Spirit strengthens you as you do it. And when you walk away, there's a joy comes in your heart because you did not get upset, that person. You loved them anyways.
Yes.
Even if they didn't appreciate it and they got meaner yet. That does happen, you know. When people are kind to you, sometimes you get mad at them anyways. We're not supposed to do that. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well doing and doing good. For in due season We will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, or those that are born again. Notice he tells us not to grow weary while doing good. Some of us get tired. It's been a long time. I've done this. I see nothing happening. And I've been so good to that person. But I don't see any change. You don't have to see change. It's not about you. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for them. And you're doing it for the Lord. And God notices. Even if the person doesn't, he does. And you're benefiting through him by what you're doing. So you will reap if you don't grow weary. And if you grow weary, what do? You stir yourself up. That's what Timothy says. Stir yourself up. Nobody's going to stir me up. I got to stir myself up. And do not lose heart. Don't get your eyes off of what you're focusing on. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. In other words, well, they've done that to me. I'm going to get back at them. No. Repay no one. And how many is no one? No one. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, some people read that and see, and they say, see, I don't have to live peaceful with everybody. That's not what he said. He said, what he's saying is, you live at peace, no matter what the other person does. If you read it carefully, you'll see that's what it's saying. If possible, as much as depends on you, your limit is you. Okay? Live peaceable with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, and he will. God will do that. He will take care of that other person, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Good always overcomes evil, even if it doesn't look like it. Luke 6:35. Last verse I just read said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The first verse 35 here says, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So he's telling us we're supposed to walk the way he walks. That's the idea. That's what this whole thing is about, walking in the ways of the Lord. But you notice it's almost the same thing that Paul was saying. But this is Jesus talking here. Love your enemies. That don't mean you hate them and still do things for them. It means you control your hate, you turn it. You love your enemies. Do good to them. It doesn't mean just be nice. Do good to them. In other words, you're not supposed to have any enemies. They may be your enemy, but they're not your enemy. They're an enemy to you, but you're not an enemy to them. You don't repay in like kind. You know, you're supposed to love everyone. You know, there's some people in our lives sometimes that they're just not nice. They're just not very nice. But we're supposed to love them anyways. Are we? And I think I am. If I'm not, I want the Holy Spirit to tell me I'm not. But if I can talk about that person when they're not around in a mean way, I'm not loving them. I should be the same when they're not in my presence as when they are. And if I'm not, I should repent of that. So there's a certain political figure I just don't like. And I've got to guard myself because I can be very critical there. and it's open and obvious. But I have to love him anyways.
You have to think the best of every person.
That's what it says. And every time I see that, think the best of every person, I got to ask myself, am I? Am I? I'm not walking in their shoes. I don't know how they got there. But I know I don't like what I see. But God knows them better than I do. And I got to watch myself there. Because that's one place that I get sideways. We all have something. If we're not, we're dead. If we don't have an issue here and there to correct, we're dead. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your word tonight. Lord, we do desire to walk in your ways. I know I do. I really want to. And I thank you, Lord, that you know each of us intimately. You walk this way. Jesus, you walk this way. You know what we go through as human beings and what we encounter, even more so now than in the times that you walk the earth. This world is in bad shape. But, Father, it didn't slip up on you. You still loved anyways. And, Lord, you can teach us how, because you know how. Not only do you know from a position of God, but you know, Jesus, from a position of being a man. You suffered more than anyone else, and you carried all of our sins, past, present, and future, for all time. You went into hell so nobody else had to go there. You rose from the dead and sent the precious Holy Spirit to live in us. We're so thankful, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our understanding as we walk through our daily lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.